G'day all. This is Scott Rutkowski. Haven't been on main menu for some time. And today I just wanted to talk about Windows XP and my experience in upgrading to XP on the work computer down in help desk where I work. Haven't upgraded to XP yet on my home machine. And the reason for that is I'm still waiting for the JAWS 4.01 upgrade, which was mentioned on last week's XP special. And we're also awaiting news to see whether there will be a compatible DoubleTalk PC driver. At the moment, the driver for the DoubleTalk internal is only a 16-bit driver. And if anybody knows anything in regard to if the DoubleTalk driver will be 32-bit, I'd very much like to hear from you regarding that fact. Otherwise, it means that I'll probably have to buy either a triple talk or possibly use Eloquence, which I don't really want to do at this time, because a hardware synthesizer is always good to have when you're doing other things with audio production such as this. Some of the issues regarding XP upgrading from Millennium to XP, it was very painless. I didn't have any problems at all upgrading to XP from Millennium. It was very simple to do, and it worked extremely well. And when I restarted the machine after about 50 minutes later, XP came right up, and I could use the narrator, which David spoke about on the show last week, and it actually does work quite well. It's not the most brilliant screen reader you can get, like JFW or Windowize, but it does its basic functionality. Yeah, it's got its basic functions, and really does work for reading dialogues and tabbing through links on a web page. That sort of thing is really quite cool. What I did do before the upgrade process, and I'd recommend people do the same thing, because it does really help when you have to make a note of software and hardware drivers that do need to be changed to run under XP. The first thing I did before installing the XP upgrade onto the Millennium box was to sit down and make a list of all the frequently used software that I have. And I finally worked out, after working it out for a little while, that there wasn't going to be that much that I'd have to upgrade. There was only a couple of things, mainly. The home machine's going to be a bit more of a challenge, actually, because the work machine's only got the basic work necessities on it, like antivirus software, some disk utilities and that sort of thing, which work fine under Millennium, but not under XP. They were too old. So, first of all, I decided that I would run the upgrade advisor, which was mentioned last week. So that takes about 10 minutes to go through that and run. The PC that we were using for the upgrade was a Pentium 2 500 with 128 meg of RAM. And, yeah, we'll get to how XP performed in a moment. So after the upgrade advisor had completed, it actually makes you a little text file in the Windows directory. And the file is called upgrade.txt. So in this particular text file, you actually get a list of software and hardware that won't be compatible with XP, or you get a list of things that need to be changed. Now, the first thing on my particular upgraded list was that Norton Utilities was old, and some of the utilities like Norton Disk Doctor wouldn't work under XP. And so, I actually bought the new Norton Utilities 2002, and they're fully XP compatible. So that solved my virus program problems and the utilities. So that was fine, not a problem at all. What I would suggest is that for those who do have to upgrade their antivirus software or their, even firewalls would come into this actually, to uninstall it before you upgrade, because it does actually help if you uninstall the old software first and then install it again under XP once you've upgraded. Zone alarm was another concern that I had, since I use that on a daily basis. Fantastic firewall. Now, the current version, which I think is 2.57 point, I can't exactly remember, 231 or something of that nature, is XP compatible. So that was fine. But I thought what I'd do anyway is uninstall it before the XP upgrade, and then install it and have it run under XP, just so it knows that it's not Millennium anymore. Other packages that will probably have problems are such programs. I'm pretty sure Cool Edit runs under XP, but I can't actually say whether it does or it doesn't. I haven't been to the Centrillium site to see if there is an XP upgrade or if it'll run under XP. I'm pretty sure it will, because it runs under 2000. So you can pretty much safely say, except for utility programs and virus programs, most other programs, if they're 2000 compatible, you're pretty safe that they'll run under XP, but that's not always the case. So basically, after I made a list of everything and confirmed that I would have to make modifications to the software on the machine, I then looked at the drivers. Example, sound card drivers and drivers for the mouse and that sort of thing. That wasn't really a problem. The only thing that it said that would have to be upgraded would be drivers for the Sound Blaster Live. That has to, they've already bought those out, the upgraded drivers for the Sound Blaster Live, by the way, so that's fine. And also, drivers for my Logitech mouse would have to be upgraded as well. So that was fine, because they're out now too. So, basically, now that we've organized everything, and the drivers and hardware and software have been organized, and we've got all the XP drivers ready to go, I decided to take the plunge and upgrade to XP, because I really was getting tired of the frequent crashes and reboots under Millennium, and it is a real pain actually having to reboot if you're trying to do some important work on your computer. So we basically then ran the XP upgrade, no problems, it upgraded fine, rebooted and played all this great music, and I got the chance then to activate the product, which was very painless. It just said it was going to upgrade, or not upgrade, it was going to activate my XP for me, which is fine. It went away and did it and said, sure, yep, you're activated, no problems at all. So, well, I'm a registered XP user, which is cool. So that's great. Now, basically, the main differences that I've noticed with XP, I've put everything back to classic. I tried the actual new interface with the start menu, which I didn't like too much actually, because basically it's in two columns, and you've got all your frequently used applications on the left, and you've got other things on the right. I can't exactly remember the order, but yeah, basically I wasn't happy with that, so I decided that I would turn off the new start menu and put it back to the classic start menu. And basically, they're not too hard to change. You can change it from a couple of places, but I did it through start, settings, and taskbar options. You changed it in there, and that was quite cool. We actually changed it there, no problems at all. There are other options you can change, but there's help available with every option by hitting F1, so we'll actually explain the option to you, tell you what it does, that sort of thing. The other options that I did change, I changed the interface back to classic, and there was a third option, which I can't really remember off the top of my head what it was, but it definitely made everything work nicely again. Now, what I was very impressed with XP, now this really is impressive, you can't do this with Millennium or 98. There is a hotkey in XP, which is Windows key in L. What that allows you to do is called switch users. So you could have a couple of users set up on your XP computer with the preferences to how you want them to be set. You could leave your, say if you were downloading a large file off a website or off an FTP site or doing something which you didn't really want to close. What you can do with XP, which really did impress me, you can do a Windows key in L and you can log off as yourself. All your applications that you were using stay open and you can log on as somebody else. So all the stuff you were doing in the background will stay open. You log on as another user and your tasks continue to perform in the background while the other person gets a nice desktop, like just starting the computer up, but you're not actually starting that up from scratch, basically. That's what sold me on XP, having that capability. And you can have up to about four, I think there's a limit to how many of these users you can do, or have, and you can log off and then log on again. But I was very impressed. That was one of the most impressive functions that I found with XP. So I thought, yep, this will be a very useful thing to have, because what you could do in theory is if you're broadcasting on the net, you could have a profile for that, so you have all your settings set up the way you like them, like volume, preferences for your sound card, that sort of thing. And you could call it broadcast and have a password set up with that. That's cool. Then you could just have your normal everyday profile that you use when you're just not using the net for broadcasting, which is fine. So there are many, many benefits to XP. And that's mainly one of my main benefits, actually that logging or the changing user feature. Another issue with XP, which I found to be cool, was the fact that you could actually, in the control panel, if you don't change the interface from control panel to the classic view, it's like a web page, and you can tab through the different sections, and you get different categories. It's called category view, basically, is how the default control panel is set up. And you get different things like system maintenance. When you click on that link with your mouse or your enter key, you get options like disk defragmenter, scan disk, that sort of thing, which you can also get to through accessories under the start, programs, accessories, and then system tools. So all they've really done is they've made it a little simpler to get to most of the commonly used functions. That's fine, but I find it easier just to have the classic view and just hit the first letter of my option, like A for add remove programs and that sort of thing. That's another issue I wish to comment on. Add remove programs has changed. Add remove programs no longer has the three tabs at the top, like you've got your installed software, Windows setup with all the different components you can add, plus you've also got the make a startup disk tab or whatever that option's called, I've forgotten offhand. It's all in one window. And on the left you get the programs you've installed, and you can add and remove those on the left-hand side. And on the right you've got the choice of adding or changing installed Windows components, or adding more components anyhow. That is just great, because everything's in the one window. At first it threw me, because I couldn't work out with the narrator what the hell I was landing on. But once someone explained it to me, it actually did make sense, and it was a well thought out way of doing things. What I would recommend to those people serious in upgrading to XP, I would recommend having some sighted assistance nearby, just so someone can describe the screen to you, because it really does help if you know what the screen looks like before you actually go ahead and start playing with XP. The interface on the XP interface is different, and the icons work and feel the same, it's just the screen looks different basically. But seriously, I recommend people use the classic interface for the control panel, the start menu, and the other one, I can't remember exactly what the third option was, but use Classic for all the views, and you'll have probably hardly any troubles at all. Another nice option, and this is an option that I've been wanting access to now for ages, there's an option in XP called Administrative Tools in the control panel. And what you can actually do in there is see all the running applications. And you can actually go in there, you can close them down if you don't want them running anymore, if they've hung or something of that nature. And you can just use the Administrative Tools dialog to shut down a task or to end a task, whatever. And it doesn't take down the whole OS with you. It just closes the program that's crashing, and the rest of your operating system is fine. That is just great. So you hardly have to reboot, and you get stacks of system resources to play with, so there's always plenty of memory. What I do want to mention to people, if they do seriously want to upgrade to XP, is that I would recommend at least 256 megs of RAM. I'm just finding that 128's okay, but in some instances it's a little slow. Not all the time, it's only occasionally when it has to swap out to the hard drive for disk access. So 256 is definitely recommended. I'm actually going up to 512 megs on my new Athlon 800 next month, and a new 60 gig 7200 RPM hard drive. That's going to be great. My final comments on XP are yes, upgrade, but if you don't really need to upgrade at the moment, I would wait around for a while to see how the screen readers are going, JFW window-wise, etc. The only reason I'm doing it now is because I need to know it for work to help the people on the help desk and the customers, so that's why I'm upgrading to XP at this time. Otherwise, I'd probably wait too. So if anybody has any interesting issues about XP, they can send me an email, and the email address that they can send a message to is worm1000@pnc.com.au. Yeah, worm1000, all one word, @pnc.com.au. And we'll be happy to try and answer the questions when we upgrade to XP on the home computer, so we'll have more time to play with it there. This is Scott Rutkowski on Main Menu, and we hope to be back next week with some more interesting reviews of some cool software.